Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Song is gonna go on forever. Oh my god, I wish the producers would give us some editing equipment, for god's sake. We have Gilligan in the back room on a bike pedaling to cut the film. What's up, everybody? This is your crazy ass hostess, your creature, your mistress of the night. Don't want to rip off Elvira. I love that chick. She smothered me the last time I saw her. That's all I'm saying. Not getting into it. It's a lawsuit. It's craziness. But welcome to the Christmas edition of the Gore Girl Variety Hour. And yes, this is your host, your crazy ass. I don't even know. That's all I'm going to say is crazy ass hostess, because I could say whatever. But sitting to my right, unlike Techie Yen, who switches off left-right, sitting to my right is Techie Yen, who's going to be ringing in the new year with me. Hey, Techie Yen, what's up?
Hey, Gore Girl. Hey, everybody.
Oh, what's up? Oh, my God. Apparently, I don't know what's up with Techie Ed. He's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. I don't know. This run from the cops thing really has to cease, because, I don't know, it's blowing my mind. I don't know what's happening. But, yeah, guys, you're part of the Christmas extravaganza here, okay? It's going to be Christmas carnage here. And like I told you before, we're your elves of evil. That's right. Get those sleigh bells jingling, or whatever it is you do. But, that's kind of what the show's going to be, is just nonstop Christmas. You know, I put it to you guys, who the hell else does a Christmas show that's like horror movies, serial killers, blood in the snow? Everybody pretends to have a Christmas show. Oh, yeah, our show's evil. Our show's bad. It's pretty cool. Yeah, yeah, bite me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not as entertaining as my show. Not to stir it up there, but I do. I want to stir up other radio hosts. Because seriously, everybody forgets the whole thing that radio is entertainment. You get your news, you get your stories, you get your live action. It's entertainment, guys. Who wants to hear you blab on for an hour and you don't have anything interesting to say? Talk about something cool, guys. I'm tired of hearing about Barack Obama. I'm tired of hearing about the economy. I'm tired of hearing about real estate. Why don't you talk about something we all give a shit about? I don't know. I don't know. Can I get in trouble for saying that? I guess not. I guess not. So what's up, Techie Ann? Have you been like, what have you been doing? Because you were AWOL. You came on one show, then you left for a couple shows. I mean, don't tell me you're into necrophilia as well.
I've got other little fetishes I'm into.
Well, guys, it's getting kind of hot in here. I don't know. Techie Ann, his thing is necrophilia. I don't know. I have certain things of my own. God only knows. I mean, I haven't been arrested yet. You know how that goes. It's okay. I looked at the clock. I'm like, what? 11 minutes went by? My bad. Apparently, we can't afford any clocks that work in here either.
Or you just can't tell time.
Or I just can't tell time. I don't know. I don't know. It's a thing. I don't know. No, Merry effing Christmas, guys, because we didn't do two shows. This has been an insane month, I swear to God. I'm not even kidding, guys. This has been nuts. I mean, I seriously, like, out of my left side of my head, I can't hear. I don't know what's going on. I have, like, insane blockage. I'm not usually allergic or get this. I don't usually get sick till about January. I don't know what's going on, but I got a lot of crazy stuff going on, guys. And, of course, you're, you know, being the sultry, you know. I start laughing because I knew you were going to make fun of me. Techie Yam likes to make fun of my little monikers that my marketing team puts up on my descriptions for the show. Hey, they come up with some good ones. What'd they do?
Siren of Slaughter.
What was it? Baroness of Blood.
Mistress of Mayhem.
That's a good... I don't know. It's good times. I am all of them, yes. I do enjoy bathing in blood. I do enjoy the Children of the Night. I don't know. What can I say? I like it all. But, you know, we have our severed heads on ice. We drink our beer. You know, we suckle our eyeballs. It's all the same.
And the constant run around the studio is you're going to wake up in the kitchen thinking of this behavior.
See? That's right. All of our interns know. You work for Gigi Studios. There is a possibility you'll end up decapitated in the sink. I don't know. It's a thing. It's a thing we got here. But, no, seriously, it's Christmas time. You know, I'm excited. It's sad that we missed the first two shows, but I'm serious, guys. I had some crazy Gore Girl stuff going on. I got big projects brewing. And, of course, you guys are going to get first word on it because why not? I mean, you listen to the damn show, you might as well get something for your buck. But as if they're paying. Yeah, that'd be nice. No.
Make it some money
in lieu of donation. Isn't it usually in lieu of money, whatever.
Something like that.
But no, we want the money. Or body parts. I don't care. If you want to send us a finger, an arm, I don't know.
We do need that bar collection.
We do. Yeah. No, I will give you guys a little tidbit of what's going on. Because I do kind of feel you guys need to know, all right? I mean, you're part of the audience. You've stuck with me. We've got so many crazy things going on. I do, before I get into all this rambling that I usually do that I'm infamous and famous amongst the horror and paranormal circuits for, I do have to apologize to all the fans out there that are having a hard time picking up the show. We did a lot of switching. We switched from one blog talk site to another. We've heard some people say that us being on our new host, horrormoviefans.com radio network, is hard for them because we have a lot of shows on that network, so it's hard for them to figure out where my show's at and what time. And so I know there's a lot of lost in translation stuff going on. A lot of fans don't know where to go. Sorry about that, guys. We will figure everything out. I promise you, from the bottom of my bloody twisted heart, that after New Year's, we will actually have the website up and running. You can go right to thatggshow.com. Everything will be working. I'll have all the links up there, all the secret projects I'm working on, crew information, crazy games, appearances that we're making. We'll have archives on there so that you don't have to worry about where to go to listen to us. So, yeah, I'm going to make it easier for you. Plus, it's a hell of a lot easier on me, and that's what's most important. But anyway... Thanks, Peggy Ann, for agreeing with me. I had to give that apology out there because I know a lot of fans, we kind of lost a lot of them switching over. They're not sure where to go. The links aren't really working for them. So we will get that all figured out. I promise after the new year, all of you will be able to find the show again. So we're working hard on that. Horror Movie Mike, I will be contacting him. We got some stuff to work out as far as easier access to the show. So it's all for you guys. It's going to be another crazy year, so let's just jump into it. So anyway, these secret projects. I'm just going to give you guys a little hint of what's going on, okay? We've got works happening. We got things happening, guys. Things. These are big things. As you know, we had Lloyd on a few weeks ago, Black Wednesday, but we actually have a secret project brewing with Lloyd. So that's going to be exciting, guys. If you're in the Chicagoland area, all I have to tell you is that we have a huge treat for you because of this project we're working out for summer of next year. Also, my business manager is working on getting me behind bars. No, that didn't come out right. I'm not going to jail, even though I don't know. I don't know how I would do in jail.
I think you'd do very well.
I'd obviously have to go to the women's person, and I don't know, some of those big butch, it's scary. It's frightening. The daddy's frightening. Anyway, personal fear, guys. No, I'm just kidding. My business manager is actually working on something really cool for the show, guys. We are actually going to be live from inside a penitentiary doing a live interview with a serial killer. I'm not going to mention who. I'm not going to mention, you know, all the legal stuff. We're signing paperwork, going through red tape, trying to get this all figured out. But it looks like it's a green, looks like it's a go. So far, we don't have any roadblocks. Everything's going smoothly, going through the system. But, yes, I will be live in prison, guys. And I'm gonna tell the guards, too. I'm going to be like, dude, take the handcuffs off him. I just want to see what happens, you know. I have to find somebody that, like, is strategically kills women. And, like, hates women. I will do that one. How crazy would that be? I'll be strangled during the interview. I'll be, like, coughing up blood. What's your favorite color? I like it. It sends chills down my bone, guys. I love it. This is the stuff I love. So I'm doing this for you guys because this is what I want to know, okay? We make a show here, guys. It's paranormal. It's horror. Yeah, sure, we got horror guests on, filmmakers and special effects guys and actors, actresses, but we also get paranormal guys on. So another treat for you is since we had to miss the last show, which would have had Tim Yancey on it, Tim is coming back to us in January. And, I mean, this is going to be a hot show, guys. It's going to be hot. That's all I'm saying. Because Tim Yancey, as you know, is the official authority on the Amityville Horror. He was friends with George and Kathy Lutz. The man knows his stuff. He could tell you what kind of jam they put on their bread on day 15. That's my favorite example, by the way. But the man tells you, he knows so much. I mean, he knows the logistic side. He knows the paranormal side. He knows every bit that had happened during those 28 days that the Lutzes were inside that house. Insane. He's got interviews. He has interviews with the actual murderer, DeFeo, who killed his family inside the house. I mean, when you hear this guy talk, your bones will just seriously turn to brittle. That's interesting.
Bones do that?
Would it get brittle? I think I would enjoy that.
You would snack on someone's phone?
That's exciting.
I think I would like that.
Peanut brittle. Excuse me, I'd like those peanut brittle bones. Thank you. Thank you.
In case I get hungry
today. No, it's going to be insane, guys. I mean, you got to stick around for more of the GG Hour. I mean, I might actually be murdered on air. This is nuts. If we're lucky, this is crazy. I know all my critics out there. Actually, I don't have any critics.
Who can criticize you?
Really? Because I'm awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up in the sink. Probably
the hitmen I have patrolling around. Anyway, so, I mean, it's just crazy, guys. We're going to have serial killer interview. We're going to have Tim Yancey back on. Next year is going to be insane because I'm going deep, guys. I'm going
deep. Is that another fetish?
I don't know. Huh? I don't know. Might have something to do with that night with Elvira. I don't know what happened, okay? Lawsuit. It's crazy. But or with Bonnie from Ghostly Talk. I'm sorry, Bonnie. The last time we got arrested for skinny dipping, it was crazy. It was crazy, girl. Bonnie is hot. And you know what I hear? I hear she's a lesbian. I'm actually just kidding, guys. I just like pissing people off. Anyway, it was good time. So I'm excited about this, you know. And I talked to Tim, and Tim's a buddy of mine from back in the G&D days, early G&D days. And he was like, girl, let's do this. He's like, I got stuff that will blow your mind. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm like, gorgasming all over my chair as I speak because, man, the tapes with DeFeo, they're so freaking chilling. Seriously. This kid gets on and just talking about as he's, you know, the shadow person with glowing white hands handed him the rifle and he's running from room to room shooting his family. These shadow people are just running up and down the hallways just excited that he's killing his family. And you know what's even funnier? Not one person in the whole neighborhood heard a single gunshot. All they heard was the dog barking.
Wow.
He used a freaking shotgun, guys. I mean, it's you'd have to hear it. Just insane if you think about it. It chills me. It's awesome. It chills me. And I have not had the opportunity to go ghost hunting with my buddies in a while, so we will be doing some live hunts, guys. Next year's going to be crazy. We're going back to Waverly Hills. We're going to hit Whisper Estates. I mean, guys, next year's going to be insane. I dare somebody to do what we do on radio. I dare them because nobody can. They can.
No.
It's insane.
Because
no one's as crazy as I am.
No.
Everyone's like, oh, God, is she talking again? Anyway, oh, God. I do have some interesting news, though. Let's get back into the Christmas thing, because I'm just blabbing, but I had to make up for the two lost shows we had. So, I had a bunch of craziness going on. I'm sorry I left you guys, but we're back. So it's Christmas, you know. I'm excited. I'm excited because, you know, it's like Halloween. Christmas is my second favorite holiday. And I'm sorry, this goes back for me being a kid with the whole tradition and my family sitting around the tree and stuff. But think about it. You know, it's exciting. You know, it's snowing. You go out and you get in a snowball fight. You go, I even like Christmas shopping, you know, the wrapping, the eggnog, it's the wrapping and the whining and seriously. It's insane. I love it, though. Sleigh rides and just, you know, the whole, there's something about it, man. When I was a kid, being at school, what are you cracking up about?
When's the last time you've been on a sleigh ride?
I don't even know, like 8 years ago. But thanks for calling me out on this. You know, I actually paused too. I was like, well, 8 years ago or so. I think that's the last time I've been ice skating, too, and I used to play hockey. That's crazy. So anyway, I just love it. You know, the whole tradition of being a kid, doing crazy stuff. I mean, and I don't care. Everyone's like, oh, Christmas is dorky. Christmas is commercialized. Yeah, it has become that, but you have to find your own thing about Christmas, guys. You can't let media and Macy's and all these people control what you think about Christmas. You have to find your own thing. To me, man, Christmas, it was little things. It wasn't, you know, the whole schlocky going out shopping for everybody. It wasn't all this commercial crap. It wasn't the diluted crap that we have today. And I'm not a religious person, so no, I didn't celebrate it as a religious holiday. I celebrated it as what it meant to me growing up. It was family. It was friends. It was everybody being peaceful. It was joy on earth. It was happiness, blah, 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 blah. What can I say? I'm like this weird evil elf. Like I just said, elves of evil. Like, I love blood and slaughter, yet I love to go on sleigh rides 8 years ago and be happy and sing and throw snowballs. And
does Satan allow you to celebrate Christmas?
You know, Satan does allow me.
Does
he? He does. Because he too enjoys the eggnog.
Oh.
See?
Yeah.
See? Hip with Satan, guys. You got to think about that one. Oh, yeah, that's another secret thing we got going on, too. We actually have a guy that is indirectly friends with me. He's more friends with the hosts of my international radio show I do, The Ghostman Demon Hunter. And he went inside the Church of Satan, and they allowed him to monitor and record their actual rituals that they do inside the Church of Satan. I know, chilling stuff, man, because some of the stuff they said to him, some of the stuff they did, blow your mind. Seriously, what Anton, and I mean, I'm not supporting Satanism, I'm not against it, whatever, I think everybody does their own thing, as long as you're a good person, you're not trying, you know, whatever. I just don't get behind, you know, judgment on anything. Okay, well, you're doing your little rituals, that's fine, whatever, you know, but just chilling to think about Anton LaVey, so many years ago, set up this religion, which is, it's kind of, you know, interesting, because the Church of Satan is actually doubling in numbers as we continue on. So I know everyone keeps trying to, you know, the church, I guess, is losing their grasp. I don't know. I think we should get a priest on, and I think we should get a priest from the Church of Satan on. I think we should have a Jerry Springer show. I think we should. I'm down. Let's do it. We're just insane, guys. This is what the GGL is. So anyway, I got to get back to the Christmas stuff. So I'm excited. I mean, are you excited, Techie Ann?
I'm very excited.
And, I mean, I love Christmas, but you know what I love? It's because Christmas is Christmas horror, man. I love my Christmas horror.
It's all about the Christmas horror.
Seriously. You're watching Santa run around kill people. That's awesome. I love it. You know, Rudolph dead in the snow with his mouth gaping open and his nose chopped off. I mean, you know, sitting on some guy's BMW as his new little antenna thing. I mean, it's awesome. I love it. I love it, guys. But I do have something interesting for those of you that don't know, because you know I always bring you a little something. They actually have this new movie coming out. And I don't know if it's going to be DVD or whatever, guys. This news just hit a while back. Isn't that like an ironic statement? This just hit a while back.
Is that an oxymoron?
It kind of is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Jumbo Shrimp.
Arsene Cuff Entertainment and Velvet Hammer Films, they've teamed up, guys, to produce this gory horror film called Silent Night, Zombie Knight. Lou Temple's in it. You guys all remember him from Devil's Rejects. Felissa Rose is in it. Vernon Wells is in it. It was supposed to start shooting December 2nd. I don't know what happened with that. My sources didn't tell me if that was a go or it got sidetracked, whatever. Directed by Sean Kane. It's basically about this creature outbreak that traps these two LAPD officers together. This guy and his soon-to-be ex-wife. So obviously it's this whole, ah, oh, you hate me, you love me. Yeah, just get to the zombies eating brains, okay? So basically this whole love triangle is happening, and zombies and wives, and I don't know. I don't want to hear people talk in a zombie movie. I just want to see the zombies eat people, okay? I don't need another love triangle. You're not George Romero. Don't try to be philosophical. Don't try to make a society statement. It's not going to happen. It's already been done. What George Romero said cannot be undone. It's good. It's golden. Leave it alone. So anyway, but I do have a special treat for you guys. This was so freaking cool when I found out about this, guys. You need to run to this site. And when you do, you need to tell them that the GG Hour sent you. Tell them that Gore Girl sent you, okay? Because this is awesome. I don't know how many of you know about this, but if you go to evilxmas.com, okay, evil, the letter X, M-A-S.com, it's this whole crazy website. They talk about horror movies, Christmas horror books, and they sell their infamous Christmas evil cards, guys. Okay, that's the reason to go there because I love it. I love it, okay? It's called – their whole little site, their gimmick is Evil Christmas, I'm Dreaming of a Red Christmas. Okay, ha, 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 I get it. But I was looking at some of these, man. They're hysterical, Techie Yan. They are freaking hysterical. Oh, my God. They're funny. First of all, okay, they got this one. I'm going to give you guys a few examples. They've got a whole list. You have to go on there and look. They got a whole list of funny ones, and then they have a whole list of, like, goth ones, which are their evil ones. So I suggest you look at both of them because I was cracking up. This is some good stuff. These are Christmas cards that we need to send out as horror fans, okay? First of all, this has to be my favorite. I think this is my favorite. There's this little Victorian, you know, hodgy-podgy kid on the cover, all, you know, oh, bittersweet looking. And he's got this bloody axe in his hand. He's got Santa's decapitated head. And there's a pool of blood around him. And on the inside it says, Tiny Tim wasn't going to starve this year. That's my favorite. That is my favorite. I'm sending that out next year. That's awesome. Then there's another one that says, you know, I'm looking at this, right? And I'm like, what? What is that? Like, I couldn't distinguish the picture. So I zoomed in, and I just lost it. I was cracking up. This is like something that Techie Yed would send out. It's this stocking hung on the fireplace, and it's like a leg that was severed off in the stocking. It says, here's to finding something special in your stocking this year. I want a severed leg in my stocking, mother. This one was cute. I like it. Cute as horror can be. There's this little girl on the cover, and she's got this huge stocking, right, with this little teddy bear, and she looks all cute, and she's got a little bow in her hair. Unfortunately, her face is a skull. No flesh, no eyeballs. And on the inside it says, does Santa bring toys to dead boys and girls? Oh, I know. You just want to give her something, right? Here's my... Wow, I was going to say something really bad.
I know. I figured you were, and you probably shouldn't.
I stopped because we could get a fine for that.
Yeah, George Carlin's probably rolling over right now.
No, he's cheering me on, actually.
You think so?
Oh, God, yeah. Carlin was awesome. He's cheering me on. Him and George Burns. They got my back. Everyone's like, what the hell is she on? I'm on life. I'm on Christmas Carnage, horror movies, and I don't know. 8-year-old sleigh rides. Woo! Well, come on, guys. We haven't been on the air in like 2 weeks. Okay? We got to cram in an hour and a half some cool stuff. We got to cram some cool stuff on air. So, yeah, I got cool stuff for you guys all the time, man. I mean, look at all the special projects we got going on. And you know who's going to hear about it first? The GG audience. Yes, sir. You guys are going to hear about all that crazy stuff first. You're definitely going to get to hear me die on air. It's going to be great.
At the hands of a serial killer,
which I'm interviewing. They're going to freak. They're going to freak when they hear that. There's this picture on the cover. It's these two presents. This one's cute. These two presents, there's a skull in the middle with a little Santa hat on. and it says on the inside, "Don't worry, that's not Santa on the front of this card. It's just the skull of some drifter I found in the bushes outside of the shopping mall." That's sweet. That's awesome. I like that. I like it. I like it. I like it. Then, like, you get to the funny section, right? And the funny section, okay, it has some depression cards, which I know nobody wants to, like, discuss the current depression that our country's in. Ah, whatever. As long as we got beer, we're okay. Wait. Okay. Oh, no, no. I had a thought there. It's crazy, but let's move on. Techie Ann almost got stabbed in the eye with my pencil. I wish I had to have something in my hand. I can't do a show without a pen or pencil in my hand.
It'd be sharp, though.
It, well, you know, well, whatever. So there's this card on the front. On the front. There's this card on the front. Or there's this picture on the front of this card. Whatever way you look at it, guys. And it's Santa Claus. And it says he's watching you. And then on the inside it says, "Now undress real slow, just how Santa likes it." I picture this fat, like, guy in, like, Bermuda shorts and, like, a little, like, Hawaiian tee with a little Santa hat on and this fat, pudgy guy with the white beard sitting in some of his bushes eating Cheetos. Drip, take it off. Yeah, that's how I like it. Come sit on Santa's lap.
It's delivering, Santa.
It is. It's We should put a little sleigh bell in there. Ho, ho, ho. I'd like to hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with, like, Deliverance music behind it with, like, dueling banjos. It's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You sure got a pretty mouth. Oh, that's frightening. I'm going to cry. That's horrifying. I don't want to think of Rudolph saying that. I'll make you squeal like a pig, boy. Wow. This is ultimately has to be the best Christmas show ever because we just made Rudolph a sex offender. I wonder, does he have to register when he goes in the neighborhoods? Hello, I'm Rudolph. I just wanted to let you know I'm also a registered sex offender. I'm supposed to go around the neighborhood and let you know. Thank you very much. I'm not allowed to be around other reindeer. Not because they won't let me play games, because they won't let me stand behind them. Then you got these funny cards, guys. There's this one that I was just cracking up because this seems to be, with the election that just passed, everybody, this is their problem with Obama. Everybody has said the same thing, and they're going to say that the people that voted for Obama don't realize what they just voted for. Because one of his main things, guys, no, I'm going to read the card first. Then we're going to talk about it. Okay, there's a picture of Obama on the front, and he's taking a tree. He's taking presents. He's putting them in a sack. And he's got the little beard on. He's got a little red suit on. He kind of has a puzzled look on his face. There's these two little, like, Victorian boys on the cover, and one of them is tugging his arm, and the other one's, like, pointing to the sack. And the one little boy goes, "Why are you taking our tree and presents, Obama Claus?" And the inside, he says, "Don't worry, Billy. I'm just redistributing the wealth."
Oh!
See, that seems to be the thing, guys. Because I heard that everybody that voted for Obama never talked about that. But then I heard all the people that didn't vote for Obama were saying that I'm sure there's other reasons that people did not vote for him, but the main reason I've heard amongst people that they didn't vote for him was one point, that he's going to redistribute the wealth. I didn't know about that until, like, after the election, and I was like, oh, crap, that's not good, because the Christmas card says it all. I mean, he's basically going to take everything away from everybody and redistribute it equally amongst everybody. So how, yeah, that's kind of frightening. So I don't know. I mean, if I'm wrong, somebody call in, please let me know. But that's the only thing that I'm really, like, hesitant about. Like, oh, God, what did we just do? But I didn't know that until after the election. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what was going on. Then somebody had told me about it, and I read about it, and I'm like, oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's okay, little Billy. You're going to get somebody else's Christmas tree and present.
It'll be smaller and not as nice as what you would have had.
It'll be smaller and not as nice, but you're going to like it. You're going to take it, and you're going to like it, Billy. So anyway, And that sounds like something else that Rudolph would say.
It does. Definitely.
Little Billy, you're going to take it and you're going to like it. God, I got delivered to Rudolph in my head. It's
he's
so horrifying.
Talking to
you tonight. It's horrifying. Oh, God, guys. Anyway, we're going to jump to our first commercial break. I hope you have deciphered the rambling through the serial killer interviews and the deliverance, Rudolphs, and the... I don't even know what else we talked about. Zombies, and I don't know. I don't know. Apparently, what we just talked about this whole half hour is about, like, decapitation, severed body parts, zombies, serial killers eating parts. It's weird.
What else should we talk about?
I don't know. That's what I want to hear. It's what I want to hear in a show.
And that's why we tune in.
And that's why we tune in. You better, because I'll redistribute your wealth.
Redistribute my body parts.
Yes. Yes, that's what I meant to say, but I didn't know if I could say that. I didn't know if that'd be a threat, and I'd get in trouble for saying that.
Could that be a platform that you could run on for office?
I think it could.
Body parts?
I think it could.
I think that would
work. I'm going to have Joe Bob Briggs as my vice president. Joe Bob Briggs is going to be my vice president. I'm running for prez. My platform is I'm going to redistribute body parts.
It'll work.
You don't like that arm? It's okay. I'll give you a new one. You don't like your lips? What kind of lips you want? I'll go take it from that person. Put it on you. It's okay. It's fine. It's how America runs, baby.
Let's vote for Gorgro. Gorgro in 2012.
Gorgro for president. Bah! Now, wouldn't you just crap your pants if I really did run?
I'm writing in. I'm in
it. I think everybody should. All right, guys. Let's hit the first commercial break before I don't know, piss myself or I don't know.
I'll bring them up.
The bucket for the next gorgasm. Stop. Here, we're going to lull you into security. Okay, we're done. That's all our budget allows. Oh, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Did you figure out where that was from, guys? True horror fans out there, you probably know it's from Silent Night, Deadly Night, the 1984 classic. That was Grandpa there talking to his little grandson. So everybody keep that in mind. When you see Santa Claus, you better run. Run for your life. That and Rudolph, the apparently sex offender deliverance Rudolph that you need to run from, too. But what's up, guys? What's up? What's going on out there? You guys better be excited. You better be, you know, tizzing the season and bowing your holly and whatever the hell else that they do during the holidays.
Bow holly?
Do you bow holly? I don't know.
Bow holly.
I don't know. Bow holly.
I'd be interested to see someone bow holly.
I heard that she took it good at the Christmas party. Oh! That was lame, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I licked it up and did it again. I just freaking love Christmas, guys. Here I am. I'm jingling my own bells. I'm cackling, I'm jingling, it's all the same. But seriously, what do you want in your Christmas carnage, guys? Okay, you're going to be hanging out with the fam next week, right? You're going to be hanging out with Mom, Pop, and Uncle Billy, and all these crazy people. And you know, you're going to be open to presidents? You're going to be open to those presidents. As part of the redistributing the body parts program.
We're going to open the president first.
First, let's dissect our presidents. can't get out of the closet.
Can you imagine combining all of their little parts, from Lincoln?
It'd be like a Christmas tradition. You go into some, like, Betty White's home. Okay, kids, gather on the tree. We're going to reassemble the president's pot. Drink your eggnog and grab the cookies. Seriously, guys, I love Christmas. I don't care what you say. I love all these horror fans, okay? These supposed horror fans. I don't like Christmas. It's cheerful. I need to be depressed. What? Are you on crack? You can like horror movies no matter what. You can like Care Bears and like horror movies. Just because you like blood, guts, and gore doesn't mean they have to segregate yourself from everything else. Are you insane? Seriously, I love these people that walk around on a high horse, like, or I should say a dark horse, going, I have to be sad and depressed. That fits the horror movie fan image. No, it doesn't. Seriously, I'm telling you, I know my crap when it comes to horror movies, okay? I've been in and out of it, you know, philosophized, dissected them, criticized them. You know, I basically studied film since, you know, when I was early on. And, I mean, that sort of led to me being the movie critic I am today on the international show. But, I mean, just that's all I did was consume horror movies. You know, I digested them. I eat, sleep, and breathe horror movies. And it's like, I don't know. I don't care. I love Christmas. I love Golden Girls. Whatever. I can like whatever I want to like. That doesn't stop me from appreciating a good gore effect. You know, hell, I worked in the horror film industry for years, you know, doing special effects makeup and stuff. I appreciate a good zombie slur, a good drool happening on the part of some deranged maniac. That's what I appreciate in life, guys. But I also appreciate Estelle Getty's timing and comedic humor. Or actually switch those. Comedic timing and humor. It wouldn't be a show if I didn't fumble my words. But seriously, so I just, that cracks me up. That always cracks me up. It is always, and I think forever it will crack me up when people say that, I can't do that because I'm supposed to be into, what? Seriously? Is that how you think? If that's how you think and that's how you want to live, good for you. But I'm sorry. I don't want to limit myself. I want to enjoy as much as I can, because when I ride into hell, my coffin's going to be on fire. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to be all beat up, bruised. I'm going to be missing parts of my scalp. I'm riding into that grave all messed up, because that's the only way to live life, guys. So, I don't know. You do what you want. But, hey, I'm going to be bouncing around haunted houses. You know, I'm going to be doing all sorts of crazy stuff in the coming years, bringing it to you live. We got special trips planned. Oh, no, I can't even tell them about this. I can't even tell you guys about this one that we got planned.
Okay.
I don't know if I should.
I'll do it.
It would ruin the surprise.
All right, fine.
All right, I'm going to give you some hints, guys. We also have a trip planned to a special section for whores in a special section of Europe that had a special dissectional serial killer. That's all I'm going to say, guys, is we got something crazy planned. But, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go nuts. I don't care. Because I'm going to do whatever it takes. And this is the stuff that excites me. So, I don't know. All these people that get by humbug, yeah, whatever. Okay? Kiss my ass. people are just so, I don't know. Is it me or are people getting crazier? People are just getting
worse.
Yeah, they're getting worse as time goes on. Come on, guys, lighten up. But see, that's why I love the horror movie fans. I love horror movie fans. I love my fans in the paranormal because you know what? They're crazy. They're like me. They're insane. They get out there. They live life. They love blood, guts, and gore. They love spooks. They love running through haunted houses. But at the same time, man, they got lots of interest, lots of intelligence, lots of creativity. I love you guys. Love everybody out there. Okay, some of you I've loved twice. But whatever. We're not even getting in there. Groupies don't count, okay? All right? Or the herpes that go with it. But anyway.
Groupies and herpes.
So we got to get on with this, guys, because the show's running down. And you know we could talk for hours and hours and hours.
You don't know.
No, of course not. So I don't know. What do you want? You're going to be snuggling up with the fam this year. But you know what? We have to appreciate the good things about Christmas, like Christmas carnage. That's right. That's right. I like a little bit of Santa slathered all over the place. I like to eat it up, guys. I like my reindeer raw. So this is what I'm saying. I just love this because you realize that Christmas is supposed to be the most cheerful time of year, yet it's the most psychologically disturbing time of year. this is the time, guys. Christmas is the ultimate, like, you know, up you kind of thing. It seriously is, like, supposed to be the happiest, sweetest, most joyful time on the planet, and yet it's the time when people are most haunted by their personal demons. They're most haunted by their past. It's when suicide's the highest. I mean, this is what you're talking about, guys. This is just psychological frenzy. This is the psychiatrist's playground right here, okay? Run the gamut of diseases, of mental illnesses you could have. This is why Christmas is crazy, because it's supposed to be happy, it's sad. So here you got, you know, Burl Ives singing his little Rudolph song. And yet on the same token, you have Christmas horror. That's what I love about Christmas. I love snuggling in a chair, you know that? And watching a little, you know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, or watching a little bit of God knows. I don't watch that ridiculous Jack Frost, but, you know, watch something like the original Tales from the Crypt episode all through the house. I mean, come on. Those were great, guys. Those were great. So right now we're going to take a dip, because who the hell else is going to honor Christmas horror properly than Gigi sliding into the grave? So we're going to take a minute, guys. We're going to go through Christmas horror. And if you haven't seen it, you need to run out and get it. Some of it for horror fans, we're just going to reminisce, because some of the stuff is just too classic to not include and talk about. So what do we got? We got so many horror. We got so many Christmas horror movies going on. So I have to talk first off about what I just said. One of my absolute favorite Tales from the Crypt things is the episode All Through the House. And did you know that it actually was it was part of a British anthology film, Tales from the Crypt, from 72. Joan Collins played the girl. And what happened was, the story goes, she kills her husband on Christmas Eve, right? Kills her husband, done with him. She's got a little kid. She thinks, oh, yeah, you know, a snowstorm happens. She's like, whatever, you know, I'll call it in. It'll take the cops forever to get here. By that time, you know, it'll be fine. I don't think she meant to call the cops, but she thinks she's getting away with it, right? Kills her husband. Who the hell can hear her? Who the hell can come to the house? Nothing's happening. Turns out this escaped lunatic from a mental asylum down the road escapes and dressed like Santa Claus with an axe is going around killing people. So here she is alone with her and her daughter in the house. And it turns out to be the whole episode is an entire psychological battle between her matching wits with this mental Santa. So this guy is trying to get in and kill her, kill her kid, whatever, and he's just going nuts, rampaging through the neighborhood. So now what's funny is she can't really call the cops, because she killed her husband. So what is she going to do? She has to take this guy out. She has to, her and her daughter, get away. She's got to figure out some plan of action other than, hey, hi, I killed my husband, you know, come get me. So, you know, it's just like the ultimate, well, crap. Here I thought I got away with murder, and I'm about to be slaughtered by a killer Santa. So they're getting through this whole thing. Don't want to ruin the ending, but it's the greatest damn thing. She figures out, you know, oh, yeah, I got to jump on him. That's it. We're safe. Turns out her daughter lets him in because he's dressed like Santa Claus. Why are you crying? Stop crying! No, but you know what's cool is that they actually redid it for, it was the best part of the 72 film. It really was the best story of the whole film. But they actually redid it for the new Tales from the Crypt series that came out on HBO. Remember? Crypt Keeper and all that stuff, boils and ghouls, which I used to say all the damn time, but they actually brought that segment back, and that segment, I mean, okay, I love the Joan Collins version, but oh my God, is the new segment awesome. I love the guy, oh, insane, with the teeth and the, oh God, it's awesome, it's like your ultimate worst nightmare, like the perfect, you know, establishment of innocence, the icon of good and sweet and innocence, also looking like a deranged, psychopathic, sexual deviant. Oh, my God, is it awesome. I love it coming together like that. It's awesome.
Paradox.
It is. It's the ultimate paradox. I love it. I absolutely love it. So you got to check that out if you haven't seen it. Check out the original, because I know probably everybody and their mother has seen the Tales from the Crypt episode. So you got to see the original. It just builds you up, man. It's awesome. Of course, you got movies like, we're just getting right into it, guys, but Silent Night, Deadly Night. I reviewed this last Sunday for the GND audience, because not many paranormal people watch, they don't know a lot of the good horror films to watch. It's kind of interesting. We're sister communities, yet we have a hard time, you know, the horror fans are kind of like, okay, ghost hunting, get me in. And then the ghost hunters are like, okay, classic horror. I mean, a lot of people blend the lines very smoothly. But there's a lot of paranormal fans that I'm surprised haven't seen some of the classic horror things. So I reviewed Silent Night, Deadly Night, and my God, everybody was like, oh my God, Gigi's ranting. Because I was going nuts. Because I freaking love Silent Night, Deadly Night. 1984, all you classic, or all you horror fans know the classic, okay? I love this movie, okay? The kid starts off in a flashback form. Well, it tells the kid's life, pretty much. You know, he goes with his family. They're all happy-go-lucky, silver spoons-type family. They drive to see their grandpa, who's in a catatonic state in a mental hospital. The parents leave the room to talk to the doctor. You just heard what the grandpa told the kid. Told him that Santa punishes the naughty, you know, to stay away from Santa because he'll hurt you, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, there's the psychotic Santa Claus running around, shooting people up, you know, causing mayhem, being a criminal, whatever you want to call it, running around being nuts. So they run into him. They're driving, and he pulls over the side of the road, tries to get the family to stop. They stop, pulls a gun on him. The dad backs up, gets shot. He attempts to rape and kill the mom. The kid runs away, escapes, and the guy goes looking for him to kill him, but, you know, doesn't find him. So he ends up, this poor kid ends up growing up in an orphanage run by this crazy, sadistic, you know, headmistress. And I don't know, you know, I was kind of pissed when I was watching it the first time because I was like, how could you do that to a kid? You know, I mean, this headmistress should just beat the crap out of this kid, you know? Like, he has psychological problems. You know, he watched his family be butchered by a Santa Claus, and you're going to, like, go after him, and you're naughty, and I must punish you, and you like punishment. I mean, come on. Seriously? That's effed up. You don't do that to the kids. So, everybody out there that has kids, yes, you do. They're like, mine's in the closet right now.
That's how you keep them in check.
That's how you keep them in check. No, we're just kidding. No, we're not. Anyway, God, I swear to God, I'm like, my head is congested. I don't know what the hell is going on. So anyway, you know, it goes on. He grows up to be the sturdy, and I might add, really hot-looking guy, mm-hmm. muscles and everything. Grows up, the one nun at the orphanage that always loved him, that always thought, well, you know, tried to do the best for him, tried to, you know, be there for him. She takes him and gets him a job at the local toy store. So he's at the toy store. He is the nicest damn kid, helps old ladies, you know, talks to everybody. It's just like, oh, gosh darn it, can I help you? You know, like just a good old boy, a good old country boy or something, you know. And you're just like, oh, he's sweet. Well, of course, it wouldn't be Christmas horror if you didn't introduce the psychologically effed up version. So, of course, their Christmas store stand is AWOL. So they decide, hey, you could be him. So they bring him in, dress him up like Santa, and make him be Santa Claus. I cracked up when I first saw it, and he put the little girl on his lap, and she's, like, crying because she doesn't like Santa. He's like, sit still. Stop crying. Santa will punish you. I'm like, oh, God, that's effed up. And then I was kind of like, I kind of reverted, and I said, hey, can I sit on your lap? Because I like to tempt fate, guys. That's all it is. I tempt fate. Tell me to be naughty. Come on. So I don't even know where that came from, guys. I'm sorry. They're like, oh, my God, Gorgo's, like, doing the microphone. No, that was an hour ago. Anyway, so, I mean, just crazy. So he ends up liking this girl in the toy store. She ends up almost getting raped by this other guy. He freaks out. Has, like, the longest flashback sequence in history. It's, like, 5 minutes of flashbacks with flashing Christmas bulbs and sweaty, you know, things happening, and he's shivering, and he's witnessing his entire life flash before him, and he's, oh, God, and sweat, and flash, and sweat, and flash for, like, 5 minutes. I swear to God, I was like, is this a pee break? Do I get up? What happens? I don't know. So ends up killing the guy. You think that'd be it. He just does a good thing, kills the guy. No. He freaks out. Like, the psychological border has been tipped. The cops can't catch him. He's just insane. Goes crazy and starts murdering everybody. Now, I do have to say that Silent Night, Deadly Night has the funniest kills. I swear to God, I loved it. I loved it. The bullies on the sleds. That was awesome. That was awesome, guys. Because these two bullies steal these sleds from this kid. And they're like, we're going to slide down the hill. Yeah. So they go to slide down the hill. The one slides down. He's like, woohoo, we're all bullyish, and we just slid down the hill. It's cool. They're like, seriously, the bullies are like 30. I'm like, and you're sliding down a sled in a hill, and that's exciting to you? Okay, whatever. Apparently that's a town. I don't know. So they slide down the hill. The head bully, who's all like Mr. Man, comes sliding down the hill, and his friends at the bottom go, come on, yeah, come slide down the hill. It's cool. So he's like, yeah. Gets on the sled and starts sliding down. Santa steps out from behind the bush and laughs his head off on the max. Now, see, that in itself, it's not very funny. It's not very interesting. But it's what happens after that makes me chuckle, gives me a sigh of recognition, makes me all cozy on a cold Christmas night with a little, you know, cup of hot cocoa, and makes me just giggle. And it's the sled's coming down. The kid's at the bottom going, yeah, here's my friend. Yay, he's having fun. And he sees his friend's torso. All of a sudden gets to the bottom of the hill. His friend, it's just a torso. It has no head. Then the head comes rolling down like a minute later. And the friend screams like a little girl, ah! I love it. I love it. Give me more. I want to pick that head up and just lick it. I love it. I love it. Good stuff. Then, of course, I have to give hand sound. Linnea Quigley's in it, guys. She is and was the ultimate scream queen. Okay, there were many classic scream queens. I could go back. I mean, we could do an entire show about scream queens, okay? But, see, the thing I dislike, I love the classics. I love the classic girls. You guys were great. You added something. You brought scream queen to modern vocabulary. But the thing I hate is modern scream queens. All it is TNA. All it is. That's all these girls do. They have no concept or respect for horror. They're just like, yeah, I like horror. Yeah, that was classic. But that's all they say. That's all they know. That's all they say. Hey, did you like that one? Yeah, that was cool. That was classic. Yeah, that was cool. What? Where's the passion? Where's the excitement? You're supposed to be, you know, into horror. You're supposed to be, I mean, you don't have to like horror, but you're supposed to at least know what the hell you're talking about. That's all I ask. And all these modern scream queens are saying, yeah, we're like the coolest people in horror, and we'll show you our boobs. But, you know, as we're bouncing around, it'll detract you from the fact that we don't know what the hell we're saying. Seriously, guys. I mean, I understand that everybody's going gaga when you see TNA. Whatever floats your boat, it's all good. I'm not going to deprive people of some good TNA shots. But does this a scream queen make? No, it doesn't. I mean, at least Linnea Quigley, yeah, she did TNA all over the place, but she did iconic roles. She did cult classic roles. She did 80s roles, guys. These are roles that we were like, yeah, that's kick ass. It's bitching. You can't put your finger on why it was legendary. It just was. It was campy. It was kitschy. It was all sorts of stuff rolled into one. It was the gratuitous 80s, you know, tit shot. It really was. But seriously, what's with these new scream queens? They are just like white trash chicks. I don't know. Some of them I can get behind. There's a couple I talked to that were decent, you know, they were pretty cool. They, you know, were on the same page. But a lot of these are just imitations, guys. A lot of these, they just want to make the quick cash. They want to go to the conventions. They want to do the Sheppis thing, have people line up, autograph at the table. But no, man, these are imitators. So I had to give a knockdown to these imitation scream queens out there, because what the hell do you think you're doing? Seriously, this, you know, come on. Really? And, of course, I have to give props to those wonderful filmmakers that keep making such awesome entries in the horror film genre. Seriously? Come on. Just because you have $6,000 to buy an XL2 doesn't make you a filmmaker, okay? And I don't know how many times I've ranted about this on the international show. These people get $10,000, and all of a sudden they think they're the next Spielberg or something. And I mean, or they're the next Craven, or they're the next, you know, Argento, or they're the next Hitchcock. Come on, give it up, okay? Just because you have the money laying around, just because you watched a few audio commentaries, does not make you an artist, okay? Thank you. Let's bury it. Put it to rest. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, Rand. I'm sorry, Techie Ann.
It was well deserved.
Well, do you not see? Do you not see what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
It's insane. I don't even know. So, I don't know. Silent Night, Deadly Night, it was campy. It was, I mean, when it came out, it was like the bottom of the barrel for the slasher flicks of that time. But how many, you know, Christmas horror movies do we have? We're limited. I mean, there is a significant list, but really we're limited in comparison to all the other Christmas movies out there. So I love Silent Night, Deadly Night because, I mean, it has true psychological problems. It has true progression. I love the pacing. I don't care. It's great. I mean, they actually paid attention to story. I liked it. I mean, it was good stuff. And gratuitous blood. That's great. Some kill scenes, you know, slamming Quigley on the antlers. I mean, come on. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas horror is all a freaking about, people. So I like Silent Night, Deadly Night. And you know what? It was banned back in 84. All the mothers, all these PTA soccer moms tried to ban this movie because it was horrible and it was portraying Santa in a horrible image. And really? Did you see Christmas Evil, which came out like 4 years prior? Come on. It's just a bunch of bored soccer moms with nothing better to do than to pick it. A good old-fashioned hearty Santa Claus movie. That's all I'm saying. So definitely Silent Night, Deadly Night, Part 1, 1984. Check it out if you haven't seen it. They came out with Part 2 and Part 3 and Part 4. I heard talks that they were going to start doing a Part 5 if we didn't slam our foot down and say no. But Part 2 is basically just a flashback of the entire entire first movie. So I don't even know if it's worth seeing. Part 3 isn't really anything to talk about. They resurrect the dead Santa from the second film, which was his brother. Okay, no big deal. Part 4, basically a toy maker named Joe Petto. Get it? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. So anyway, he makes killer toys. Whatever. I mean, I don't even think you need to see the sequel. It's pointless. It's not even good camp, guys. You know what good camp is? You know what freaking good camp is? Demonic Toys. Oh, my God. A full moon film. Demonic Toys was awesome. That was a crazy-ass film. You had this killer baby running around, the killer bear. I mean, it was nuts. There's all these toys in the factory, and they're evil. And, like, this, you know, this guy ends up falling in there. You know, he's in this factory. And, I mean, these toys are just killing everybody. It was nuts, and I loved it. And you know what I loved even more? Yeah, they made sequels. And, of course, the Puppet Master movies, which is Full Moon's, like, iconic poster child is Puppet Master, the film that made them famous, or infamous, I should say. But I love you, Charles. You know I love you. Charles Band, of course. But anyway, they came out with an ultimate campy movie, which is so freaking bad, but just how corny it is, and the fact that it has Corey Feldman in it now is hysterical. They had Demonic Toys versus Puppet Master. That was funny. That took place. It was the Christmas. Oh, la, la, la. We're going to give Demonic Toys out. The kids in the world are going to die. Blah, 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 blah. But the funniest part was that Corey Feldman played a scientist. Corey Feldman putting together enough brain cells to make a coherent sentence is a good enough movie for me. That is a documentary right there. That's some good stuff. But having him portray a man of intellect, now that's good stuff. I'm just kidding, guys. I love Corey. He's cracked out and insane. I love him. But I don't know. Where do you go with that? We're running down on time, so I'm just going to whip through some stuff here. But look, you got Silent Night, Bloody Night, guys. 1973. John Carradine, guys. That is an awesome classic movie. Takes place in an insane asylum. This axe murder, taking vengeance on people responsible. It's not really a Christmas film, but it takes place, you know, with the whole Christmassy title, okay? Silent Night, Bloody Night, okay? But it's awesome. It's classic horror. I mean, John Carradine, for Christ's sakes, people. Get behind it. Awesome stuff. So I just love it. And, I mean, everybody groups it into Christmas, even though it's not. But I have to mention it just because of how great it is, how classic it is. The cinematography, just the intellect that those films had for being the sleazy films of their day. Today we recognize them as being little gems of, little gems of classic cinema, of what could have been done, what was done, what was a low-budget film back then, and how different our sleazy low-budget films from then are. So, I mean, seriously, just classic all the way. Of course, Black Christmas, 1974, Bob Clark, guys, the man who made the ultimate Christmas movie, A Christmas Story, I mean, makes one of the best horror films of all time. Black Christmas was like, you know, Canada's our sister country. It was like the little nugget our Canadian sister threw us. It's the little dark morsel that we fed on during Christmas season. How awesome was it? You know, I mean, look at all the people it had in it. Olivia Hussey, Margot Kidd. I mean, look at all these, just insane amount of talent in those films. And I mean, it was early on. Checking these girls out when they were young at the beginning of their career, wow, good stuff. But basically, the sadistic killer is making phone calls. They live in a sorority house. They're getting all these threatening phone calls. Sisters are disappearing left and right. They don't know what's going on. Turns out the killer lives in the attic, has lived there the whole time. His name's Billy. Effed up past, leaves them phone calls, and is going around killing all the girls. And he hides in the walls. He runs through the attic. I mean, oh, my God. That was great. The original Black Christmas was awesome because everything it incorporated, Bob Clark basically set up crazy-ass slasher. I mean, he's basically helped set up the slasher genre as what we know it today. I mean, that's awesome. This was 4 years before Halloween. So come on, this was good stuff. This was good slasher. He knew what he was dealing with, guys. He knew that the subject matter wasn't, you know, some On Golden Pond or some, you know, Katharine Hepburn film. He knew what he was dealing with, and he masterfully directed it, guys. I mean, watch this film, and I dare you to say that any other film competes with it in the same genre, in the same age time class, in the same genre. I dare you, because Black Christmas sets itself apart. It is different. It is, and it's a forerunner, guys. You cannot compare it to slasher films at all because it predated slasher. There are a few exceptions. There are a couple slasher films that came out around the same time, and I believe I have two or three that came out before, but they did not accomplish what Black Christmas accomplished. They did not accomplish the freaking insanity that Black Christmas did. So, got to give props to that. You got crazy crap like, okay, I said Christmas Evil. I remember watching this film. This was a long time ago, probably when I took a sleigh ride. I remember watching this film. This crazy old guy likes making toys, gets fired from his job of making toys, is sick of people abusing Christmas, and goes around and kills people. Doesn't kill kids. He actually goes and gives the naughty ones bad presents and goes and gives the good kids good presents. But I mean, he's killing people. It's great. But see, the reason I like this movie and what's different from Silent Night, Deadly Night, there's hardly any gore in it. It's really more about what this guy goes through in the Christmas season. So, I mean, I love it. Of course, Don't Open Till Christmas, 1984. It's a holiday slasher, guys. The killer is not Santa, which was rare from all of our Christmas horror. He's killing Santa Clauses. Yay! All those schmucks that, you know, walk the corners, they're getting off, guys. That's great. All those rental suit rejects. Good stuff. I like it. It's a great British film. You need to see it. I love it. I'm choking on my own saliva, but here we go. Oh, my God. What else you got? Child's Play was not about Christmas, but was set at Christmas. Andy Barclay's birthday was right before Christmas. My God, the opening scene with Charles Lee Ray took place around Christmas time in my beloved town, Chicago, guys. We murder our own serial killers right in our toy stores. That's right, that's how we do up here. Gremlins, my God, that's why we played the Gremlins rant to signify the Christmas show. Gremlins was an awesome movie. How can you not say it's awesome? Oh, my God, just the crazy storyline. You had Gizmo, you had Spike. I mean, you had mutant killer things coming out of this innocent, cuddly little thing, you know, this little Mogwai. It was awesome. I mean, Zach Galifianakis was awesome in it. I mean, the kid hardly did any movies at all, but he was just dorky, and he was your epitome of a Christmas idol. He was all doe-eyed and, oh, gee, we should go stop the bad guys. I mean, he was great. You had a little Corey Feldman running around. I mean, and of course, no one can forget the ultimate reason. It was campy. It was kitschy. It had great music. It was so dark humor, guys. It was great. But how could we forget Phoebe Cates? Forget her discussion about why she hates Christmas. That is the best part of the movie. That is the craziest and funniest dialogue. Seriously, I love it. I mean, you put that on, as soon as you hear the Gremlin song, does it not get you excited? Do you not sit there and start bouncing around like, yay? They were funny. Who the hell wouldn't want a Mogwai? Who the hell wouldn't want a Gremlin? I don't know. It's good stuff. So we had to mention that one. It was insanity. Of course, we have Christmas crap, which I know some people out there like, and they say, it's camp. You got to like it. It's camp. BS, okay? What's this crap? Santa sleigh with that wrestler Goldberg. Come on. I mean, somebody's like, oh, my God, it's the greatest Santa flick of all time. Are you retarded? I don't know. Is there a problem? Do I need to come to your house and beat you? I don't know. Come on, guys. This is just people's attempts at trying to make their entry in Christmas slaughter. It doesn't live up to the classics, guys. It really doesn't. I mean, I dare you to get closer to what we mentioned. Of course, you know, A Christmas Carol, I have to mention, is a psychotic movie. So I do highly suggest everybody see that. That's effed up. That movie is effed up. Seriously, if you look at it, how is it not a scary movie? It's scary. It has very similar psychological themes. It's a frightening movie. So I love it. I absolutely love it, guys. But what else? What else am I missing? Oh, they got that damn... Okay. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. Debbie Rashan was in it, and I know Horror Movie Mike and all those guys love Debbie Rashan. They had her on the show. I like Debbie, but that crappy-ass porno she did, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't a porn. It was this Santa Claus, came out in like 96, and it was this movie about Santa Claus is running around killing porn stars, and they're all TNA. Come on! Come on! What did you make it on? Seriously, I mean... I don't know, guys. That's all I'm saying about that is, I don't know. I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, and Jack Frost, the killer clown that runs around with Freddy Krueger puns and runs around killing people, rapes the girl, you know, I mean, just insane stuff that he does, kills, you know, icicles and stuff like that, kills people with icicles. Come on, okay? Yeah, we get it. We get what it is with the season, but I don't know. It's just... It's like they try too hard to be campy. I don't like films that try too hard. Just play it off. Have fun with it. So those films feel a little forced to me. I know a lot of my fans love Jack Frost. So, hey, whatever floats your boat, everybody's got an opinion. But seriously, I don't know. I like my horror bloody. I like it kind of kitschy, kind of campy. But I don't like something that then has to force itself up my ass. So, like a prison inmate, seriously. Just let it go. Just let it go. I still have scars. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, guys, I don't know. Did I just ramble? Did I cover what I should have covered?
I think you did.
Okay, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to give you guys a special treat. We're going to hit the commercial, which is a commercial of Black Christmas, the original trailer. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of that. When you come back, we're going to give you a rough run through of Christmas history, because I bet it's effed up, and I bet you guys don't know. So here we go.
Hello? Who are you? For God's sake, what are you doing?
What's with the abrupt thing? Why can't our producers like actually edit things properly? Whatever, we're going to blame it on Techie Ed. So anyway, it's all your damn fault. You're fired. Anyway, guys, let's get right into it. I didn't even have time to swallow. What was that, like 10 seconds long? I'm like, oh, my God, that's it. Cool. Moving on. Good times. Did you like that little run-through of Christmas Horror I did, Techie Ed?
That was great. I want to see Black Christmas.
You've never seen Black Christmas?
No,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to dig through my stuff. That's it. You're coming over. We're watching Black Christmas. It's going to be a good time.
I want to.
Oh, my God.
We all have stuff now.
See?
And I just stand.
Moving on. Bleed all over yourself. Nobody cares. So, anyway, let's give a little history of Christmas, guys, because I promised you here that you're going to get the stuff. Who the hell knows how it really started? Do you? Doubtful. So let's move on. Everyone's like, God, Gorgo's crazy. I've been off for 2 weeks. Of course I'm not.
She's pent up.
I'm pent up. I'm like a, why do I keep talking about prison. Ah, whatever. Apparently I have some sort of weird fascination.
It's another fetish.
It is. I don't know. Apparently I like being as tight as a virgin in a prison rodeo. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. It just sounded good. It came out, sounded good. We're going to go with it. Sounded pretty cool.
Okay. I don't want to end up in the sink, so I'm not
going
to argue with you.
Prison inmates, ass cheeks hurting. I don't know what's going on. I've lost myself. Anyway, I love to do history, guys. I love to tell people the history of crap because why? Because I like it. If you don't like it, turn me off. I don't give a crap. I like it. I like it when it's weird. I like it when people just invent crap off the top of their head. So here we go, guys. We're going to give you a little brief history of a Christmas. So I'm actually going to tell you because I don't know if you know Techie Yam. Do you know that, Christmas dates over 4,000 years ago, but many of the Christmas traditions that were celebrated actually were celebrated before Christ was born? Did you know this? The 12 days of Christmas, you know, the whole bright fires, the Yule log, gift giving, carnivals, carolers, you know, all these church processions, they're traced back to actually the early Mesopotamians. You're just nodding. You're just nodding. You know this? Okay, fine. Screw you then. I don't care.
Thank you.
So anyway, obviously, this is one version I had heard. Where is my handy-dandy notebook? Anyway, that's one version I had heard was that obviously the early people believed in many gods, and their chief god was Marduk. Each year, as winter had come, I mean, it was believed that Marduk would do battle with the monsters of chaos. To assist Marduk in his struggle, the early people had a festival to celebrate the new year. So this was called Zagmuk, the New Year's festival that lasted for 12 days. Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
So anyway, it was supposedly said that the Mesopotamian king would return to the temple of Marduk and swear his faithfulness to the god. The traditions call for the king to die at the end of the year and to return with Marduk to battle at his side. So to spare their king, they use the idea of a mock king. And we see this many times through history. A criminal was chosen and dressed in royal clothes. So he was given all the respects and privileges of a king, and at the end of the celebration, the mock king would be stripped of the royal clothes and he would be killed, retaining the real life of the life of the real king. I just thought it was cool. I don't know. So the Persians, the Babylonians, they celebrated a similar festival called the Sakeia. Part of the celebration included the exchanging of places, you know, the slaves becoming the masters, you know, having to obey. Sort of that whole thing where if the gods were going to take their king, they would take the peasants, not the royalty. Kind of crappy. So isn't it kind of funny that Christmas came off something crappy?
It's kind of similar to how our government is now.
But anyway, we're redistributing the parks, people. So obviously, the early Europeans believed in evil spirits. They believed in witches, ghosts, and trolls. This is stuff that I still believe in today. So as the winter solstice approached, with its long nights, you know, long cold nights, the short days, people feared the sun wouldn't return. So they had special rituals and celebrations to welcome back the sun, which we actually still do today. So, I don't know, I just thought that was cool, but you're looking immensely at me.
I'm concentrating.
Wow, okay. And I'm not used to having somebody, like, in my dance space looking at me so closely. You're like, I thought I said something wrong. I was like, oh, my God, did I not speak right? So, in Scandinavia, okay, and I don't know how many of you are hip to your history, during the winter months, the sun would disappear for like, I don't know, so many days. It's kind of like that whole, what's that? Oh, God, I can't remember that place in Antarctica. That it's supposedly dark for, like, months. It's, like, dark the entire summer. It's, like, constantly night. Okay, it's kind of like that. So after 35 days, they would send scouts to the mountaintops to look for the return. What is happening here? Okay. I don't know. We're getting, our producers are like, tapping us, but they're like, oh, never mind. We're good. Okay, thanks. Thanks for bothering me. So anyway, yeah, we're going to eat you later. No, we're cool. We're cool. So, yeah, we're going to eat them. They would send these scouts to the mountaintops to look for for the return of the sun. When the first light was seen, the scouts would return with the good news. So they'd have this huge festival called the Yuletide. A special feast would be served around a fire burning. Great bonfires would be lit to celebrate the return of the sun. In some areas, people would bring, they'd tie apples to branches of trees to remind themselves that spring and summer would return. So the ancient Greeks held a festival similar to that of the Zagmuk Sakea festival to assist their god who would battle Zeus and his Titans. Kind of interesting. The Romans, now this is the one that really interested me because I told you went through history. So the Romans celebrated their god Saturn. Their festival is called Saturnalia, which began the middle of December and ended January 1st. Okay, and what I loved about Saturnalia was the winters were harsh in Rome, guys, okay? So they would have this holiday in honor of their god, which was the god of agriculture. So it would lead up to the winter solstice. It would continue for a month. It was, like I said, a hedonistic time when the food and the drink were plentiful. Romans, the social order was turned upside down because, once again, they'd switch with the peasants, so the peasants would be slain. But I don't believe they actually stopped killing their peasants around that time. I think that was really early on that they did the sacrificing. Like we were talking about Mesopotamia and Persia and all that. So anyway, they observed what was called Juvenalia, which was a feast honoring all the kids of Rome. So in addition, members of the upper classes celebrated the birthday of Mithra, the god of unconquerable sun, on December 25th. So actually, Christmas is a celebration of the birthday of Mithra, the god of unconquerable sun. Interesting. It's believed that Mithra, who is an infant god, was born of rock. For some Romans, Mithra's birthday was the most sacred day of the year. Interesting, right? Right. So, okay, in the early years of Christianity, Easter was the main holiday, right? Okay. The birth of Jesus was not celebrated. But in the 4th century, church officials decided to institute the birth of Jesus as a holiday, kind of like the post office. So, I'm going to get letters. They put them on a stamp. Unfortunately, the Bible did not mention a date for Jesus' birth, so they sort of had to wing it, right? Well, although some evidence suggests that his birth may have occurred in the spring, because why would shepherds herd in the middle of winter? Doesn't make sense. So people are guessing that it was about April or May, that Jesus was actually born. So we won't know. But Pope Julius I, God bless those popes, randomly decided that December 25th would be the day that the church adopted to basically salute and celebrate Christ. How interesting. The Pope randomly decided that December 25th would be the day to worship the Christianity, to worship the Christian God. And what would happen on December 25th? Why would they pick that day? To take it away from the pagans. Thank you very much. I'm so glad. You're such a good student. I just thought that was cool because, you know, here we celebrate Christmas, but do we really realize that we had these awesome pagan roots celebrating, you know, I mean, think of what paganism was. We celebrated the land and earth, and we celebrated the sun and you know, yeah, the harvesting and crops. We celebrated all this good stuff. We celebrated earth. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes along, we're going to F you guys up, and we're going to make it the day Jesus was born.
They had to steal the fire
because at the time paganism was Christianity's rival. It was like baseball teams, guys. Christianity was trying to find fans, trying to find recruits, and paganism was trying to find fans, trying to find recruits. So it was like who could outdo the other one. So basically, I don't know. You got to think of it in terms like that. That's how I look at organized religion. It's kind of funny because how is it not like an organization? How is it not like it's politics. It's exactly politics. It is. It's like a political party.
Right.
Who can
buy one?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. You have to put down one party in order to glorify the other one, in order to sway the vote. So I just thought that was funny. This is what Christmas was all about. Interesting. So here we are celebrating all our Christmas horror and stuff, but there was real horror happening thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
So basically, the church claimed that, you know, they said, oh, no, we're not putting it on Christmas Day to to go against anybody. We're doing it in, to coincide with it. Basically what the church says or said back then was that a lot of their converts were pagans converting to Christianity. And did you know that they actually, in the time, wanted to celebrate Christmas as a solemn holiday? They wanted everybody to be like, you can't speak, you can't sing, you have to just sit and pray. Everybody just, there's no merrymaking. They didn't want anybody to laugh or have a good time, no dancing. It was supposed to be very solemn, very by the book. You celebrated this, it was a solemn holiday. But they couldn't stop all of their pagan converts from celebrating, from dancing, from embracing friends, from having holiday feasts, from, you know, continuing to worship the sun and the earth and to be, yes, we're thankful for all this. So they basically grudgingly said, okay, fine, you can dance and sing and do whatever.
Pagans were way more fun than the Christians.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he had to bring some fun to bring anybody over.
So I just thought that was funny that, like, the Christians, you know, had to basically rip it away from the pagans, but they claim it was so that the pagans could still enjoy their holiday. I was like, BS, you tried to compete with them. It was like, it's like Macy's versus Marshall Field before they took Marshall Field. Macy's versus Marshall's, who could get the better discounts, who had the better ads in the paper. BS, this is what Christmas is all about, guys. This is what originally started our Christmas. And I think that's kind of crappy that they took away the pagan holiday to celebrate Jesus' birthday when Jesus' birthday wasn't until, like, spring?
I actually, astrologically, they've traced it back to what was going on with the star in the east and all that. And actually, I think I remember reading something about they think he was born in July. So,
of course. But yet,
it's
Christmas. Okay, wonderful. So,
how we start with, you know, how people do Christmas in July?
Yeah, they're, I didn't even think about that. That's probably what it is. No, seriously, I never celebrated Christmas for Jesus because my family wasn't very religious. My grandparents were, but my mother raised us to have our own opinions, whatever we wanted to believe in. She wasn't going to force belief upon us. And I said, hey, if you want to celebrate Christmas for Christ, that's cool. That's your bag. That's your boat that you float in. That's cool. But me personally, I wasn't into organized religion. I'm still not. I believe whatever relationship you have with your God, your force, your life power, whatever you people want to call it, Buddha, whatever, if you guys have a personal relationship, hey, that's cool. That's your own thing, you know? I don't knock anybody. I don't preach to anybody. Whatever. It's all good. I think everybody is all good, you know? So I just think it's crappy, though, that a bunch of solemn Christian men decided to rip away a holiday that was praising food and friendship and all this stuff. Isn't that stuff that the Bible,
right,
these people that say,
right,
made the Bible,
the pagans,
right,
the Wicca and stuff, that's how Wicca got vilified. I mean, they were celebrating the bounty of the earth, which,
right, I know you're coming from the God aspect, but isn't that just something,
yeah,
that
I follow the Wiccan stuff too, though. I mean,
right,
I don't disallow the Wiccan stuff either. That was how they vilified, that was how the devil got to be the devil, because they had to take the big Wiccan god Pan and make him into the devil.
Oh, God, which was big BS all the way. I don't even want to get started on what Christianity, you know, did and did not. They were basically like the Romans. They just went in and conquered and took what they wanted, and that was it. Yeah, the Inquisition. Mel Brooks. What do you know about Santa? You seem to know stuff about Santa.
I got stuff about Santa. Santa Claus actually, believe it or not, was a Turkish monk. he was around in the time of about 300 A.D., and he had inherited some money, and so he used that wealth that he had inherited to be very, very kind, and he traveled around and helped the poor and the sick. One of the most famous stories about this St. Nicholas, this Turkish gentleman, was that he had saved three virgins whose father was attempting to send them into slavery. He was trying to sell them off because he didn't have any money for a dowry for them. He put up the money for the dowry for them. Thus, they were able to be married and be spared from this, you know, life of slavery or prostitution that they were going to be going to. So eventually, he became known as the protector of children and sailors. I don't know how those two are associated. I don't know.
I'm the god of children and sailors.
I'm the god of children and sailors. He December 6th, and that's the day that he traditionally, his holiday is celebrated on the day of his passing, so everyone thought that it was a good idea, tradition had it, to get married or make large decisions and things like that on that day. And some of you may have put out your shoes as children on December 6th for St. Nicholas Day. Mom put candy in your shoes. St. Nicholas.
Is that a Russian thing? What is that?
No, it's actually a Dutch thing. After the Protestant Reformation, he started to appear in American literature. He was first mentioned around the end of the 18th century in a New York newspaper when they were, the Dutch families actually started honoring this saint. And that's when I believe the tradition of putting your shoes out for candy on St. Nicholas came to be, with the little Dutch kids who put their little wooden shoes out.
Good times, good times. I didn't know, you know what I actually found out was that, because I didn't know that was the original St. Nick, because there's so many versions of him. But I found this out. I thought of you instantly, because there was a Russian thing in here. Santa was called a lot of things around. This is really cool, guys, because I was cracking up, because they got a lot of witch stuff. I don't know why the guys get to be kindly old men and the women are witches. I don't know. So anyway, what were they saying? Where was it? Germany. Okay, the Swiss and the German kids believed in Christkind, or Kris Kringle. Christkind literally meant an angel-like figure often accompanied by St. Nick on his holiday missions. In Scandinavia, a jolly elf named Jotunn was thought to deliver gifts in a sleigh drawn by goats. Love those eight goats. That brings a whole lot of bestiality to mind. No, not of my own. God. English legend says that Father Christmas visits each home on Christmas Eve to fill children's stockings with Christmas treats. Okay? In French, I don't know why French has got to be all backwards, they call him Pierre Noël. Mr. Pierre Noël will come. He will give you treats. He will give you frogs. It will be great. And this is what made me think of you, because I knew you were Russian. In Russia, it's believed that an elderly woman named Babushka purposely, I may have said that wrong, purposely gave the wise men wrong directions to Bethlehem so that they couldn't find Jesus. Later, she felt remorseful, but she couldn't find the men to undo the damage. So to this day, on January 5th, Babushka visits Russian children, leaving gifts at their bedsides in hopes that one of them is baby Jesus and she will be forgiven.
That's Russian Christmas. My family.
Yeah, that's why.
I never knew about
that's
Babushka.
Why.
I'm gonna have to tell my.
And I know you're Italian, like hardcore Italian. In Italy, a similar story exists about a woman called La Befana, who is a kindly witch who rides a broomstick down the chimneys of Italian homes to deliver toys to the stockings of lucky kids. Isn't that cool? I thought of you instantly. Oh my God, it was great. But, oh my God, we like don't have any time. We have like 2 minutes. But hey, I got to say one thing. I don't know. I feel kind of like I shouldn't rush the Christmas tree thing.
Open with that next week.
Well, next week's actually a special show.
Can you tell us about the special show?
Oh my God, guys. Well, look at this. We just like ended on it. We're like, okay, and we're done. Anyway, guys, I had this cool stuff about the history of Christmas trees, totally back from like Egyptian god Ra. I mean, we're talking like ancient wrath type stuff, guys. Cool, cool, cool. So I don't know if you guys want to know about it. I'll mention it next week. I'll open with it. Next week, though, guys, is a crazy show I got going on for you, because next week is seriously different from every other GG show I've ever done. I am going to bring you back to old Charles Dickens style stuff, guys. And I'm totally going to talk, and I'm going to actually, like, tell you ghost stories around Christmas. I'm actually going to resurrect live spirits in the studio, guys. I'm going to resurrect ghosts in the studio. I'm actually doing it live on air next week. We're doing the show early. It's an early Christmas Eve edition. If you're out with your fams and you want to tune in, heaven help you, because we're going to be resurrecting ghosts, guys. We're going to have all sorts of stuff flying around the GG studios. It's going to be nuts. Nobody does this stuff anymore, guys. I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing old 1800s spiritualism back to you guys. It's going to be crazy. So anyway, we've got like less than a minute. I don't even know what we've been talking about. I've been off the air for 2 weeks. This was kind of like I just felt like I was sitting on the couch, drinking beer, talking with people. It was a good time. actually had fun this show. It was good times. Not that I don't have fun any other show I do. I'm surprised. I had a good time. It was great. What did you think about tonight's show, Techie Ann?
I thought it was good. Very information-packed.
Information-packed. Now you're going to go and write that down. You're going to transcribe it, aren't you?
I am going to transcribe it.
Anyway, guys, thank you for listening to our Christmas edition. Pick it up. You want to know about Crazy Deliverance Rudolph. You want to know about Christmas horror movies you should go see. You want to hear the history of Christmas. You just got it. You just heard it. You heard a little Black Christmas. We had a good time. I love you guys. I got craziness packed for you for the new year. Check out the special Christmas Eve show where we resurrect live ghosts. I love you guys. Merry effing Christmas!
Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let me jolly deck the halls with bows of